Hello, it's good to see you, the few of you in this room, and the many of you out there. My name is Nolan Donald. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Foley United Methodist Church, and I am really glad that you are joining us today for our worship service from the well. I want to thank our worship team, Chris, and the other folks, our folks behind the computers back there that are making all of this work. We're really grateful for all of you, and it's good for me to be back with you. I hope you've been worshiping with us over the last few weeks. One of the things that we've tried to do, and I'm grateful for Pastor John, who leads all of this, is we've tried to unfurl a banner of where we believe that God is calling us at Foley United Methodist and really across kind of the South Baldwin community. And so we did that through some interviews with various people in our community and folks that we've learned from. If you were with us a few weeks ago, then you know we talked about real life needs, where Beth Biggs from Family Promise came and talked to us. We talked about food with Dana Jepson and just the power of the table and how God seems to meet us there. We talked about kids, had Amy Wheaton from Foley Elementary School here as we interviewed her to find out what God's doing around kids in our community. And then last week, I hope you watched the interview I did with our friend Jim Harrington, as we thought about discipleship and what does it look like for us to really be formed and renewed in the image of God. And if you didn't see any of those, I just invite you to go back and watch those. They're on our YouTube channel, or you can listen to our podcast. Go to foleyumc.org, because we would love for you to know what's happening. A few years ago, we had this sense where we believed that God was doing something, where he was calling us to have a vision or a foundation that was bigger than who was appointed here as the pastor or who served on the church council. And so we began praying and working to say, God, what is it that you want to do in and through Foley United Methodist Church? And I think my kind of simplistic mind was thinking, oh, we'll get a little checklist with like three things, like start a contemporary worship service, have a Bible study on Tuesday night, and, you know, advertise on a billboard, and check, you'll have done it. And what we found is that God is doing something so much bigger. And what he's really done, rather than letting us kind of fit him into our nice, neat box and model of how we think church should work, is he's kind of opened up the doors and said, I'm moving all across this community in the areas of meeting real life needs, caring for those who don't have enough, serving at the table, giving food and meeting people at the table, ending things like racism, sitting down with people that we have disagreements with, letting God work around a shared meal. I'm working in places like kids, and that I value the kids of this community, and I'm inviting you to serve them too. And then that ultimately all of it kind of ties into this picture of we want to be real disciples, that we're just not looking to make more church attenders, but that there is this passion and this hunger really across our community of people saying, I don't want to just do church. I want to connect to the spiritual, real life, transforming life of Jesus. I want to live my life the way Jesus would live my life if Jesus was living my life. And so that's kind of where we're going. And whether you call Foley United Methodist Church your home, whether you've ever been in the doors of Foley United Methodist Church, we don't care. You may not even live in the greater Foley community, but if you feel connected to what God is doing, if this has kind of become your place to worship, if you're finding spiritual connection through what it is we're offering here, this is not about drawing lines of exclusion. This is about opening our arms for inclusion and inviting everyone in. So we're just really excited. And what we're about to do, what I'm about to do, the reason I'm back in here preaching instead of doing some of the creative kind of things that we've been doing over the last few weeks, is because we believe that we've got this vision of where God is at work, and now God is inviting all of us, you and me and everyone that calls this church their home, and everyone in the community who's hungry for what God is doing. We believe he's inviting us to step into this. And we're starting a season today, as Chris mentioned just a few minutes ago, about being renewed. And we're just going to do everything we can to kind of pick up with where we were last week about saying we want our lives to be transformed. We want to live into the fullness of God, and we're going to be renewed. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to be doing some really intentional things to say we want to be renewed. And if you haven't been to foleyumc.org/be renewed yet, we want to invite you to do that. We would love to invite you to join one of our Be Renewed prayer walks. We've got virtual prayer walks. We've got all kind of prayer opportunities where you can pray for renewal. We had our first prayer walk this past week. There was a great group of folks who prayed, and then they ate, because we're still Methodist. And so they prayed, and then they ate, and we're going to be doing more of those in-person prayer walks. There's going to be virtual prayer walks. There's ways you can connect. You can find that at foleyumc.org/be renewed. If you're not in a Be Renewed group yet, We want to invite you to find one. You can go to foleyumc.org/be-renewed. These groups are really about saying, this isn't about just learning information. I think for so long what the church has done is we've dispensed information, which information is good, but information alone will not transform people. What I heard from a lot of people last week, I used this line in our our 8 o'clock and our 11 o'clock service about this idea of becoming a disciple, and that if we think we can just watch online services, if we think we can just attend church programs, if we think we can even just read books, and that that will transform us, we are kind of buying the same thinking that says we could go sit in a McDonald's and we would eventually become a Big Mac, because that just will not work. What the problem is that information alone doesn't transform, and so we are actively working to say we want to engage where we are, want to kind of hold up the mirror and realize where we're stopped or triggered or resigned or cynical, and then we want to take steps with a group of people around us to say we're trying to live into this life and partner with what God's doing. So that's what these Be Renewed groups are for. We have virtual groups, we have at-home groups, we have at-the-church groups, we have all kinds of things. And so you can go and find out all the information. It is not too late to be in one of those. But now I'm going to stop all the backstory kind of commercial information, and we're going to jump into where we're going, because we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm really excited about what God is doing. We've already had one great worship service this morning. Looking forward to our 11 o'clock service in a few minutes. And so we're just really glad you're here to be a part of Be Renewed this morning. So I want to read to you out of Scripture. I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians 4. If you have your Bible there, or if you want to open up your phone or another window on your computer, we're going to do 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 18. We'll put the words up on the screen. I think they're right here. John says that's where they are. And so you can read along. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, but there's all kind of great translations you can use. So this is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 18. Let's listen now together for the word of the Lord. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Pray with me, please. God, thank you that you are at work in our midst. Lord, thank you that your vision and dreams are far bigger than what I would assume. And Lord, thank you that you are inviting us to participate in your story. And so we pray right now for those of us in this room and those on the other side of a screen, whether they're watching right now live or they've stumbled onto our YouTube channel and are watching somewhere down the road or on Facebook, we pray, come Holy Spirit. Lord, we believe that you are in the renewal work, and that you're inviting us into a greater story than we could ever write for ourselves. And so, God, we open ourselves to that. We tell you before I say a word as we reflect on this that we want what you want. We want your will and your way. We don't see it as just a little flavor or something extra in our life, but, Lord, it is the very essence of who we are. And so, Lord, help us dig deep. Do what you want to do in us and through us. Do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I can remember my 2020 moment. Can you remember your 2020 moment? You may be saying, well, what is a 2020 moment? Or you may be thinking, I've had lots of 2020 moments. And that's certainly understandable because 2020 has been a year full of moments, hasn't it? My moment looked like this. It was a Thursday morning. It was actually October the 1st. And I can tell you that it happened at 10:12 a.m. So to give you a little backstory on my 2020 moment, we had been in the midst of this pandemic life for about 7.5 months so far. We had been dealing with all of that at the church, which means that we're having a worship service with like 4 people in the room, and you're watching out there, and we're figuring out when to wear masks and when to sanitize and how far is too far to be apart from each other and when we can open and what can we have and what can't we have. And we're dealing with all that, and those are all things they don't teach you how to do in seminary, and so I've just kind of been like, ah. And so we've been dealing with that for 6.5 months when we get to October 1st. You hadn't had a normal activity at the church in a long time. And on top of that, about 2 weeks before October the 1st, those of you that are here in South Baldwin County, then you know very clearly that 2 weeks before October 1st, Hurricane Sally made her unwelcomed entrance into South Baldwin County and probably damaged 80% of roofs in our community and threw us into disaster recovery mode. And so all of a sudden we go from just dealing with the pandemic and trying to figure out what school's going to look like this year and all that kind of thing, and you know how our life's messed up and we're so tired of having to put a mask on and all that. Now all of a sudden we're in recovery mode and we're thinking about what does it look like to get tarps on our roofs and how do we help people around us and take care of our property and help other people take care of their property and deal with folks who lost everything and all this. And so all of that gets stirred into the midst. And so if you're making a 2020 stew, we've already got a lot, and then you've got everything that's going on in the news, you can just dump that in there. Then you've got a contentious election season, just dump some of that in, stir it all around. You got a kind of nice simmering 2020 going on. And about 2 weeks before that, or a week before that, a week after the hurricane, my own family found out that my wife had been diagnosed with an early stage of breast cancer. And while her prognosis is really good, we were found out we're on a journey for treatment, and that journey is actually going to lead us back to Houston, Texas this week again to meet with a couple doctors, and we're dealing with all that. So that's kind of thrown in. So it was a Thursday morning, and all of that is going on. And while during the hurricane, our church did not sustain any noticeable major damage, we were really grateful. What we had begun to realize is that there were some things going on at the church that we weren't quite sure what was happening. Our Spirit Center building, which is our big community kind of building, we were kind of noticing a musty smell in some places, and our wonderful facilities manager, Bob Schroeder, was trying to do what he does, just take care of things, and so he had dryers and fans going on carpet and just thinking we could get it all taken care of. And after nothing had happened for a couple days, at 10:12 on Thursday, October 1st, he sent me a text. And the text was a picture. And it was a picture of the wall inside of our main front church office where there's a window. And that was one of the places that we had been working to try and dry things out, to try and kind of figure out how to make it all work. And in that place, he had ripped all the sheetrock off of the wall before the sheetrock had been there. And the picture was of the insides of the wall and all the insulation, which was soaking wet. And all he put on the text under the picture was, "I believe we're going to need professional help." That was the moment. All of a sudden, I was like, I can't take any more. I was like, 2020, I've had enough. This has been overwhelming, and I found myself just like, I can't do this. I can't handle anymore. I've kind of checked out. I closed my computer. My kids were at home because they were online. They were doing online school for the first 9 weeks, so they hadn't even gone back to school yet. So all that's going on. I closed. I could just kind of shut down. I stumbled through the next day, and thankfully, with the help of some friends and mentors, I kind of got things back together. But all of a sudden, I was like, how do we handle this? And I don't know what your 2020 story is. Maybe kind of when you hear mine, your story is not my, or my story is not your story. But I wonder if you can think of your 2020 moment. And maybe now you're definitely going, I don't just have one moment, Nolan. I have like a ton of moments because, you know, back in March when, you know, my kid's school got shut down, I was dealing with this, or when my job did this or that, or I'm so tired, it's so hard to go to a doctor's appointment now, and everything is more difficult and it's challenging. And even people whose lives in some ways haven't been impacted from a work standpoint or that kind of thing, all of us have things where during the course of 2020, we've had these places to go, man, the circumstances just keep coming at us. This world just keeps throwing things at us, and it weighs us down. And for some of you, you may say, Nolan, this isn't just about a 2020 moment. I've been having moments for a couple years, or I feel like I'm having a lifetime of moments where a broken relationship or a struggle or a hardship or some pain in your life or something that you're dealing with has just continued to wreak havoc in your life. And I don't know if you asked this, but what I kind of have begun to wonder is, How do we cope with this? How do you cope with all of these moments? How do you cope when the world keeps throwing circumstances at you that, by and large, you can't control, that are bigger than what you can fix and that are harder to deal with and consuming and emotionally taxing? How do you cope and how do you manage in these places? I think the world kind of tells us all kind of ways that we should do this, and we try all kind of things. I mean, I bet there's some of you watching who you moved to South Baldwin County, if you're local here, partly as a way to cope. That you were like, well, if we can just retire and get to this place, or if we can just live near the beach, or if I could just buy this house or do that thing or have this car or marry this person or in this relationship or whatever it is, that we kind of live this mindset that says the way that we cope with the struggles and hardships in our world is that we just try and engineer and create a better circumstance. And we kind of have this fallacy that runs in our mind that says, if we can just get everything right, you marry the right person, live in the right place, do the right thing, have the right job, make enough money, all these kind of things, then everything will be okay. I think another way that, especially in this day and age and in the pandemic that people have tried to cope with these situations, is that we just kind of numb ourselves. And this can look like all kind of things. I mean, there are people getting drunk on their smartphones. There are people getting drunk on social media. We have isolated ourselves. We've kind of formed our own little tribes to say, if I can just hang out with people who vote like I do or think like I do or look like me, or, you know, we try and create these little places. And we do all these kind of things to go, if I can just watch enough cable news or not watch enough cable news or do this or get away from this or all this. And the truth of the matter is, none of it works. That if any of these things work, then we wouldn't see kind of the conscience of our country and our world, the anxiety increasing and people struggling and more, you know, kind of acrimony and all this kind of stuff. This wouldn't be the case. And so there's got to be a different way. There's got to be a way to say, how do we deal with a world that's broken and fallen? How do we deal with the pieces of life that keep coming at us in a way that doesn't consume us and crush us? I think there are all kind of answers we could go to Scripture to find for this. But one of the stories that I think is the most helpful as we think about how we live in the midst of this is to look at the story of Paul. Paul is a guy that wrote much of the New Testament, and many of you might not know that that he was a person who dealt with all kind of hardship. That we think, you know, this is someone who wrote the Bible, that he probably like was in a nice office writing good books and getting them published. But he was a guy who, he struggled. And in that day and age, they said that Caesar was Lord. And so when Paul came along and began to tell people that Jesus was Lord, he was like considered a traitor. That he was committing treason and that they would arrest him and they would take him and put him in jail. And he literally was beaten and put in jail and treated poorly and persecuted and all these kind of things. He goes through this list in the text I read a few minutes ago about all the hardship that he had endured. And there was this one moment in the text I read just a few minutes ago where he is actually working with a group of people who he had helped come to Jesus in the beginning. So Paul went around and he started new churches, started groups of people, told them about Jesus, and then he would leave and go somewhere else. And there was this one group of people in a town called Corinth where he had helped start the church, and they were, you know, loving what he was doing. He told them about Jesus. They got all excited. They're like, man, freedom and power and joy, and that's great. And they had their great shirts that said Corinth UMC loves you and all this kind of thing. And they got their Facebook page and they're watching online worship and all these things, and it was really great. And then all of a sudden he kind of kept preaching, and they looked down the street and they're like, well, the preacher down the street, he's a little flashier and nicer. And so they came after Paul and they're like, we can't believe you're like this, you're no good. And so, I mean, they're literally saying, we want to be done with you, we've had enough with you, we can't handle it. And Paul, always living out the way of Jesus, he tries to reconcile with them. And so he writes what it is I read just a few minutes ago to say, how can I kind of throw the olive branch to them? How can I patch things out? How can I keep encouraging them to love Jesus and to walk with him and to follow him? And what he starts out doing is that he starts out by saying, this is really a story about how I deal with the hardships I'm facing. How I deal with the fact that I've been imprisoned, that I've been persecuted, that I've been struck down, that I've been crushed, and all these things that he's dealt with. But what he ends up doing is he opens up the story so that you and I can see that too. That this is not just something that's true in Paul's life, but this is true for all of us, that this is how all of us can do. And in the same way that you might hear my story about 2020, and you think about your story, they're different, but we can look at Paul's story and go, what he learned in his moment of going, how do I handle this, is that we can take that and apply that in our own lives too. And the way that Paul does this, where he starts, is that he says the very foundation for his life
is ultimately that he finds his identity in Jesus. If you were to go back and listen to our sermon from last Sunday, one of the things that I talked about as I explained discipleship and that kind of thing is that Paul, the same guy, one of the things that he really believed and that he teaches and that our faith believes is that when we come to follow Jesus, it's not just kind of a decision where we say, oh, we're just going to sprinkle this onto the top of our life. It is that he has this belief and the way that he's come to understand the work of Jesus is that when we put our faith in Jesus, when we say, Jesus, you are our Lord, you are our boss, you are our master, you are our rescuer, we find our identity in you, that our lives are ending, that our worldly life, that our broken life, that our sinful life, that the life that's aligned to this world in the selfish ways, that it is dying. And that there is a death that happens, and that in that moment of surrendering our life to Jesus, we die, that then we are raised into a new life that is, in a kind of mystical, spiritual way, a participation in the risen life of Jesus. And so Jesus died, and he came back to life, that he conquered death, and when we surrender our lives, we're saying we don't want our broken life that is subject to death, that we want to live into the way of Jesus. And so we live into this risen life. And for Paul, that was the foundation of everything. And so the way he described that was he said that that life of hope and freedom and joy and peace and this incredible story that was happening inside of him, that this was a treasure that was being given to him. And that it was a treasure that he took inside of his body and that he had it. But the way he described it is, I've been given this treasure, but even as great as it is with the promise and hope of glory, it is still a treasure that is kept in a jar of clay. That's what the text said. That's what Chris talked about a few minutes ago, is that we have a jar of clay. And you may hear the phrase jar of clay and you go, well, I don't really know what a jar of clay is. I mean, I don't have a lot of those in my house. So why would you put your treasure in a jar of clay? But in the first century world, a jar of clay would have essentially been the equivalent of like a Ziploc bag or a styrofoam clamshell or one of those Glad containers that you get and you put some leftovers in a few times, but after you've run them through the dishwasher or the microwave a couple times, they're no good, and so you throw them away. I mean, it was like the most useful but discardable thing you could have. I mean, it was worth nothing. Archaeologists, when they dig up places in the ancient Near East, they find shards of jars of clay, stuff that looks just like this, all over the place because they were everywhere. They were like styrofoam containers, and so everybody had them. And so what Paul is saying is that he is placed inside, that God has placed inside of us this life of Jesus, but it's in this broken and fallen and discardable container that ultimately isn't going to last, that it isn't going to sustain us, that it isn't going to carry us through. And so when we recognize that, that even though we have this hope of glory, that even though God has given us the most incredible thing we could have, that our bodies are still broken and mortal and fallen, we can begin to understand how to walk through this world. And so Paul says, he says, we have this treasure that's been put in us, these broken, fallible, fallen beings. He said, but that doesn't mean that we can't live. That what it means is that what's inside of us, that the hope inside of us is greater than the circumstances outside of us. Let me say that again. What he's saying is that when we understand what happens when we receive the treasure of Christ, is that what is inside of us, the hope of Christ, this eternal hope of Christ, is greater than all of the circumstances outside of us. That we have this treasure, and that even though our bodies and our worlds and our circumstances may change and be broken, that it doesn't mean that we're going to be defeated. In fact, Paul goes so far as to kind of go through this list of things to say, I've been crushed, I've been beaten, I've been persecuted, I've been incarcerated, and I have not been defeated. And he said, that is the promise that we have, that what God is doing in us, this eternal hope, this life that he's given, is greater, and that no matter what may come at us from the outside, that they can't defeat us. And that as we continue to press into this story, that as we continue to press into what God has given us and this desire that he has in us, that we can have a life that surpasses all of the circumstances around us because we are connected to one who ultimately where we are going to find hope and glory and eternity, and that the life that we live right now, even though there's hardships around us, that does not dictate how we have to respond to them. That the circumstances around us aren't more powerful, that the life inside of us is more powerful. And Paul drives this home when he gets to this very last verse, or next to the last verse that I read a few minutes ago, with this kind of challenge. He says, so we do not lose heart. so we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart, because though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our inner self is being renewed. This sense that we are being made into the image of Christ, that we are being made into the image of the Creator. If you were with us last week, or you listened to our podcast about discipleship, or you watched the video, then this is the work that God is doing, that we're taking from where we are right now, and that in this journey, as we press into what God is doing, that we aren't staying the same. That we are literally moving into this place where we are more and more reflecting the image of our Creator. And so what Paul says is that because the eternal hope of Christ inside of us is greater than the circumstances, the temporary circumstances outside of us, is that we can take heart. That we can take heart because we are being renewed. And what we can see is that even though we face all kind of hardships around us, whether it's 2020 or any other things that you're facing in your life, is that these things do not have to define us, because we find our identity somewhere else. And as we press into this life and this hope and this glory that God has placed inside of our broken and fallen world, that we can live into a greater story. In some ways, what God is doing in each of our lives is a reflection of what God is doing in our world. That our world is broken and sinful and struggles and has hardship, and yet God loved us enough that he sent his son Jesus into the broken world. That in the midst of the brokenness, that he offers hope and life, that we can live into his story with the promise that one day we will move on and spend eternity with him. That story that is transpiring through the ages is the story that's transpiring in you and me too. And so we can find great confidence and great assurance that the hope inside of us is greater than the struggle outside of us. That what's inside of us is stronger than the circumstances we face day in and day out. You know, as I've reflected on this over this week, and as we've prepared for this Be Renewed season, and I've thought about my own 2020 moment, what I've realized is that this is true. Now, the world around me would say that there's nothing good out of this. And the world around me would say, we just got to get through 2020, and then finally everything will get back to normal. But what I've realized is that even with all I've faced in my own life, from leading the church through the pandemic, of dealing with the fact that, you know, we haven't had a regular on-campus gathering and I don't know, it feels like years now, that we aren't doing what we were so excited about doing, that children's ministry and youth ministry and all the things that, you know, this room and all kind of things, that they aren't happening, is that what I realized that going through hurricanes and even my wife's diagnosis is that there is a sense that God is doing something in me. And that even though the circumstances outside of me are hard and painful and have brought me to moments where I'm like, all right, Lord, I can't take any more, what I've found is that in the midst of this year, I have found a deeper sense of faith than maybe I've ever known before. That over the last 6 months, I've found myself spending more time with God. I found myself taking God's word more seriously. I found myself praying more and being more open and vulnerable and honest with friends and loved ones, that I've found myself trying to press into what it looks like to be faithful in the midst of all these struggles. And so while Paul says this is true in his life, and it's sometimes easy to look at things in the Bible and go, well, that's good for the Bible people, but I've found this to be true in my life too, is that the hope inside of me, that the work of what God is doing is greater than the circumstances outside of me. And that doesn't mean that the circumstances go away. It doesn't mean that just because I'm a follower of Jesus that everything is smiley faces and balloons all the time. The hardships are real, but in the midst of those hardships, what I find is that God is renewing me, that God is at work, and that something greater is happening than I could ever do on my own. You know, we've found that to be true at the church, too. It's interesting, I was sharing with a group of people just this week as we kind of look back on 2020, and in many ways, 2020 is this year that we've kind of been like, man, if we can just get back to normal, then everything will be okay. And yet as we stop and we think about what God is doing in our midst, 2020 has been an amazing year. 2020 has been phenomenal in a lot of ways. Because what we've seen is that in this year where we haven't met for worship the way that we would like to meet, where we didn't have Easter Sunday, where we didn't do back to school the way we would like to do, is that more people have walked on our church's campus this year or come on our church's campus maybe than in the last 10 years combined. We've literally had God drop opportunities in our lap to serve our community. We've given thousands of gallons of milk away. We've fed hundreds of people through our community. Just this past Tuesday, our church was able to open up, and we talked about giving food and the table and ways that we can meet people at the table. This past Tuesday, we had 4,000 people walk through our building to vote. We were able to love them and serve them and tell them that we don't care who you voted for. We love you no matter what. We love Republicans. We love Democrats. We love black. We love white. We love all these things, and we've seen God do things. Who would have thought that in 2020, this year we've been praying for a vision that when the pandemic started, that God has actually refined and clarified what it is that he's calling us to. That with more clarity than we've ever known before, that we have this picture of what it looks like for us to meet real life needs in our community. That through Hurricane Sally, we've been connected to families and agencies and partners that are allowing us to begin to take steps to do that. That we have real ways that we are feeding people and welcoming people to the table. That we've fed hundreds, maybe even thousands of students connected to Foley Elementary School. That just this week, we got a connection to the new Foley Elementary School, the new elementary school in Foley, where we're going to be able to provide for them and serve them. And all of this has happened when we're not meeting, when things are messed up, when the world is upended. We've found incredible ways that we can serve kids. We found incredible ways that we can welcome people to the table. And we see more people right now hungry for this renewing, hungry for this transformation. We had a night of worship a few weeks ago. 100 folks gathered in our parking lot praying for an awakening, longing to see God move in the churches, longing not just to be church attenders or church behavior people, but longing to live a life like Jesus would live their life, if Jesus was living their life. There is an amazing thing happening. I was laughing. We used to have a prayer meeting every Tuesday at noon, and there were about 4 of us that came to it. Through prayer walks like the ones that we're doing in Be Renewed, through prayer initiatives, through all kinds of things, we have had hundreds of people circle this campus in prayer, praying in their own lives, praying for movement, praying that God would pay off the debt that the church has. I mean, just incredible things. Now, that doesn't mean that 2020 hasn't been hard. It doesn't mean that those things have gone away. But what it means is that what God is doing inside of us, that the eternal hope of Christ is greater than the temporary circumstances outside of us, and that we can be renewed, we can take heart, because God is renewing us. And I think this is true in your life too. I think it can be. I think that whatever your 2020 moment is, that it may be painful and it may be really hard, and it may be a journey for you to get through this season. But God is not absent. And what I believe is that as we'll embrace him, as we'll stay connected, as we'll press in, that he will write a story in us far greater than anything we could ever do on our own. I think this isn't true just with the really big things of life. I think this is true in our everyday lives too. This is not just when we sit in worship and we hear this, or we watch online and hear this. It's when we go out and we deal with that cashier at the store that's kind of gruff and prickly. That when we deal with the frustrating work of an insurance call or a neighbor who hasn't cleaned up the mess from the storm yet. It's what happens when we have a hard relationship with a family member or someone we love, or when we're dealing with an ongoing crisis. That we can look at those things and we can say, those things don't define me. Because those things temporarily on the outside aren't as great and cannot defeat what God is doing on the inside. The eternal hope of Christ outweighs the temporary struggles of this world. And so we can take heart because we are being renewed. That's part of the reason I'm excited about the season that we find ourselves in, this Be Renewed season. This Be Renewed season is a chance for us to break free of the story that we've been telling ourselves. I think for lots of 2020, we've just believed, well, if we can just get through 2020 and everything can get back to normal, then it will be okay. And the fact of the matter is that we don't know if normal will ever come again. Did you know there's another hurricane in the Gulf? Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. And so, I mean, even if we get some of these things back to normal, there will always be more circumstances. There will always be things in this broken and fallen world that we can't control. We will never be able to completely engineer our lives to this place where we can have a level of contentment that we create for ourselves. And so what we're going to do is, in this Be Renewed series, is we're going to say that we recognize that circumstances are tough, but that they don't define us. That we recognize that things aren't the way we would probably design them. But that's okay, because we know that the eternal hope of Christ inside us outweighs the temporary struggles outside of us. And so we're going to use this as a season to say, what does it look like for us not just to learn more information, but like we talked about last week with discipleship, but to literally start where we are, to evaluate our hearts, to evaluate our souls, and take steps of behavior to partner with what it is that God wants to do to renew us, to live more fully into this life that only He can give us. And so one of the ways that we're going to do that is through all of these aspects of Be Renewed. I'm holding in my hand what I'm going to give to the three or four of you here in the room is a packet. And many of you, if you're watching right now, you may say, I want to get one of these. And if you want to make sure that you get one of these packets, all you have to do is send an email to office@foleyumc.org. One of the things that the pandemic has done has made it harder for us to keep records. And some of you may be watching, and you may be on our mailing list. Some of you are not. But if you want to make sure you get one of these, we're going to mail these to everyone in our database. But you may or may not be in there. So just email office@foleyumc.org. We would love to get you one. And there's some things in here that will help you on this journey to be renewed. One, there's a letter from me that kind of explains a little bit about what we're doing. The most important thing I want to draw your attention to first is that there is a prayer card. And this card has on the back of it these two little orange dots. And I think these two dots are some of the most helpful things that you'll get. Tilt it back a little. It's flashing here. So these dots will become a way to remind you to pray. And one of the things that we want to do is that we want Be Renewed to be a prayer movement. And so whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 100 years old, we think you can put these dots somewhere that you see them on a regular basis. And every time you see one of these dots, you can pray a couple things. You can say, Lord, I'm praying that you would renew me, that I would live into that promise of being renewed, that you would do a work in me greater than anything I could do in myself. You can see this and you can say, Lord, I am praying that you would renew and you would bring awakening to Foley United Methodist Church and all the churches of South Baldwin County, not just this church. This isn't about our church and their church. It's about God's church, and saying, Lord, we pray for renewal and awakening across this area. And then when you see one of these, you can pray for our community and say, Lord, we're praying for awakening, that you would do a work greater than anything we can imagine, and that we want to live more fully into what you're doing. That's why we're having prayer walks. That's why we're giving these cards out. We want you praying. We want this to be a season where you're pressing into Him, where you're changing your behaviors and partnering with what it is He's doing. The second thing you'll find in there is our most recent newsletter from the church. We held our November newsletter. There's all kind of information about things that are going on. This will help you have a little more information about what's going on in the church. And then the last two things are things about our Be Renewed movement. So this kind of multi-page, this big thing tells you kind of a little bit what's going on each of the 4 weeks, and kind of some highlights about the topics. And then there's this piece right here. This is the piece that people are going to be like, because it's about money. How many of you are like, ooh, he said money. And so you're like, everyone right now, just if you're at home, just go, ah, say that. Great. Thanks. Thanks for both of you. And so here's the deal. You know, part of me is like, oh, we got to be careful. We shouldn't talk about money. And some of you may, right there, you may have had really bad experience with churches talking about money. And let me just say real clearly that this is not about us trying to get money. This is not about Foley UMC's budget. This really is our commitment. What we said last week is that we want to be renewed into the image of our Creator. And so when we talk about money, I really believe that money is sacramental. So a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And I think that how we use money reflects our heart. That it reflects what's going on inside of us. And so as we're being renewed, as we're thinking about prayer, as we're thinking about what it means to be obedient to God, one of the ways that we'll use this little piece right here is for you to kind of take your temperature. It'll be like a thermometer for you to say, we want to be honest about living more fully into what God wants. You know, people get all worked up about money, but the truth is you talk about money all the time. I mean, you're like, oh, can I afford my insurance deductible? Can we afford to go out to eat? Can we do this? Can we go on vacation? Or how much debt do I have? I mean, we talk about money all the time. And so we just want to make it normal to think about, and think about it as a reflection of what it looks like for you to live this faithfully renewed life. And we're going to do a commitment Sunday, but this isn't about funding the budget. There's the letter talks about that. This isn't about us trying to get your money. This is my favorite thing. If God wanted your money, He would just take it. It's all His anyway. He doesn't need your permission. I think really part of what the church's job when we talk about money is to do, we want to try and help make sure that your money doesn't take you, that you don't think that you can kind of manage your own life and sustain yourself. And so we just want to dig into this. And so unashamedly, one of the pieces of this is a financial piece. And if you're especially weirded out about this as you hear this, I believe that that is probably the Holy Spirit tapping you on the heart. And that there is a sense that not because you have to get it right and be like everyone else, and it's not shame or judgment or condemnation, but because God is saying there might be an area for you to grow. And so as we take seriously this sense of being renewed, we want to invite you to do that. I believe that what will happen as we participate in this, as you read this stuff, we'll mail it to you, we'll get it into your hands this week. As we do this, as we walk through these groups, as we pray together, as we study together, as we learn together, that God is preparing us for something far greater than we could ever do on our own. And that what we'll see is that the world around us will continue to always throw circumstances at us, that there will always be struggles and hardships, that we will always face things that we wish weren't there. But what we can remember is this truth that is Paul's story, that is my story, and that can be your story too, is that the eternal hope inside us through Christ outweighs the struggle and hardship of the temporary world around us. And so we can take heart. We can not lose heart because we are being renewed. And God longs to write in us a story that is greater than anything we could ever do on our own. And I can't wait to see. I can't wait to hear the testimonies of what God has in store for you and for all of us and for Foley and Foley United Methodist Church as we press in this season. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are not a God who is standing there wagging your finger, that you are a God standing there with your arms wide open, and that you pursue us, and that as we turn to you, you long to renew us. You long for us not to be defeated by the things of the world, but that you long to write a greater story in us. And so, Lord, we tell you right now, we want to partner with you. We want to be about what you want to do. We don't want to satisfy ourselves with saying we're obedient and then not doing the things you want. And so, Lord, would you do a work in us and through us? Lord, for every single person who will see this or hear this, whether it's right now or over the weeks ahead, Lord, would you do something greater than we could ask or imagine? And Lord, I pray especially for that person who might be watching right now who is really cynical, who says, this is a bunch of junk. All they want is money. This is just about the church funding a budget. I can't believe we watched this. And Lord, I pray you would do something even there. That Lord, just in a sliver of openness, that you might transform a life in a way that would become a testimony to your glory. And so, Lord, we invite you. We welcome you. We beg for you to move. Lord, we pray you would do something great. You might pay off the debt. You might transform lives. You might heal people. You might restore people. You might move in our community in an incredible way. And so we just say, come, Holy Spirit.